Scripture comes from the fourth chapter of Luke. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and to give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you and protect you. On their heads they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "Do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Some of these things seem obvious and some seem strange. If you haven't eaten for 40 days, do you really have to say that Jesus was famished? That's kind of a, yeah. But what it is it's an acknowledgement that he is human. And it wasn't that he could just suspend his human hunger and his human yearnings while he was being tempted. He was hungry. It is not wanting bread that would have been a sin. In the second instance, the devil says, "I will give you their glory and your authority of all the lands of the world." Which is interesting because that's why he came. He came into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He shortcut. Done. Doesn't have to go to the cross, doesn't have to suffer, doesn't have to be rejected. The world is saved. But Jesus said, it's worship your God and serve only him. Then he goes to the pinnacle of the temple in Jerusalem and says, cast yourself down. It's very important, I think, to understand this. The words that the devil speaks are scripture. They're very famous scripture. They're set to many different musical settings and will be echoed in the time that we spend in Lent. But Jesus answered, it is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Just because you can find scripture to support what it is that you want to say or do doesn't make it conclusively right. Does it conform to the will of God? That's what the scripture is about. And what we're looking at is literally one of the Ten Commandments. As I was saying to the kids, we tend to write off, you will have no other idols before me, because we don't make idols. But you see, in the time of the Old Testament, when people fell away from Yahweh, they would immediately go to something else. They would go to an Asherah pole, or they would go to a high altar. They would offer incense to a fertility god. They would do something that would demonstrably separate them from God. Well, I am a Christian, husband, father, preacher, teacher, coach, runner, singer. I have lots of facets to my life. When that order gets jumbled, it's idolatry. It's often interesting to me the way people describe themselves and what will take precedence and how it is done. In our world, it's simply more socially acceptable to say what you do for a living first. I can understand being somewhat hesitant to put your faith first because it might offend somebody. But you could say that you're a parent. You could say you're a spouse. And I don't think you should be that afraid to say that you're a Christian. But you see, that is the difficulty with Christianity is, forgive me here, it's un-American. Because the American mindset is you have a challenge, you define the challenge, you beat the challenge, and you're done. Well, that's why it says in the scripture that after these temptations, the devil gave up and went away. No, it doesn't. It says, he departed from him until an opportune time. An opportune time. He's coming back. He's going to come back in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's going to come back again and again. And the thing is that we have to deny ourselves, take up our cross daily. That's what makes it hard. See, when I screw up, it is usually during what I call prime time. Now, prime time in the pastor's calendar looks like this. The day after Labor Day until about Halloween. We try to squeeze everything we can into that time. It also happens to be cross-country season, football season, hunting season. You name it, we seem to cram it in to that same 7 weeks or so. And I tend to go from one thing to another, to another, to another, to another, and all of a sudden it's November. The other time that it happens to me is as I'm about to come into it again, is that we do Easter, and then we do Father's Day, we do Mother's Day, we do graduation, then it's Memorial Day, and doggone it, if it's the end of June and I don't remember how I got there. And that order of things that I have has been jumbled almost every day as something else jumps to the top. To help you paint a mental picture, Bill Bright with Campus Crusade for Christ has a simple illustration. And it's a picture of a chair. And there's a designation of you, and there's a designation of Christ, and there's designation for the world. And basically he says, who's sitting in the chair? It gets back to the bumper sticker thing, is God is my co-pilot. I was glad they finally came up with the bumper sticker that says, if God's your co-pilot, you're in the wrong seat. Jesus is supposed to be in the chair. Jesus is supposed to be on the throne. It would be easy if it came to the point where it was a coup and someone said, it's time to kick Jesus out of the throne. Because we go, oh, that's idolatry. I can't be doing that. But you see, it sneaks its way in. One of the things that is difficult for me is I love sports. But sports is becoming very serious, even at a very young age. And some of the travel sports, one that I will not name specifically, sends out a schedule. and says, this is where you will be and when you will be there. If you miss an engagement, you're off the team. So, if there happens to be a game on Easter Sunday, you don't go to church on Easter Sunday. They claim absolute authority and they are taking the throne. There are no exceptions. It's a scary thing. What's scary for me is that really gets no press at all. Nobody really talks about it. It doesn't get reported very strongly. And yet, when Archbishop Vigneron of the Catholic Diocese in Detroit said that no Catholic high schools will compete in athletics on Sunday morning, they will forfeit game schedule for that time. Parents were upset because they were going to church on Saturday night and fulfilling their holy obligation. He said, but Archbishop Vigneron said, no, you don't understand. It's sending the wrong message and putting the wrong thing first. See, idolatry is not building something, but changing the order of priority. To put the world first and God second. To leave on a slightly more upbeat note, one of my favorite commercials shows a grocer who has filled his store with peanut butter. And he says, man does not live by Jif alone. And his coworker said, okay, we'll serve bread too. See, in the scripture, the problem isn't that Jesus wants bread because he hasn't eaten for 40 days. It's you can't live by bread alone. Bread is wonderful if God is on the throne. Bread is not wonderful if it is the throne. When we come to this table, we come to this table not because we need the sustenance of the bread and the juice. We come to this table because we want to put Christ back on the throne of our hearts. Could you pray with me? Lord, as we face the world and the world wants us to make choices by its design, help us to deny that temptation. Instead of talking about what we're against, let's talk about what we're for. Instead of pursuing something as all important, help us to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and then allow him to add the other things. Help us each day to make that priority, to deny ourselves, to take up our cross and follow you. And all God's people said, amen.